The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is sponsored by Verizon, Miller Lite, and United Airlines.
We've got an action-packed hour ahead here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Hello, welcome into Bears All Access. Zach Zaidman joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer, as well as former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. A lot to discuss. The first week of OTAs in the books. And let's break it down with a guy who participated in that stuff this week. That would be the Bears outside linebacker Lamar Houston, who now joins us on the program. Lamar, a busy week for you, huh?
Yeah, we just got started Tuesday with OTA practices, and you know we've been working out and hitting the classroom as well. So it's been pretty busy and exciting.
And after you were done with that, I understand you had a chance to give back to the community earlier today.
Yeah, today I went and visited Comer's Children's Hospital. It was a great experience. You know, we were handing out blankets and gifts to the different boys and girls, trying to, help put smiles on their faces and change up the monotony of their day, and, just bringing them a little happiness, let them feel encouraged and talk to them, let them know that we here at the Bears are supporting them.
Well, Lamar, let me congratulate you for going to the Children's Hospital, because I think it's great for you to take some of your personal time and bring it to the kids and show your smile to them, because I think when you walk into a room, your smile's pretty infectious, so it's got to get the kids a little bit more life inside the hospital. But, going back to you this year, is the classroom part or the athletic part of your position, what's more demanding to you in the second year of being an outside linebacker?
I think both of them are fairly easy, but I think the classroom part and understanding exactly what you were doing is something that you have to kind of make sure you digest properly and take time and study it and learn it well, and just make sure you have a clear communication with the position coach and the defense coordinator of what your job pertains.
Well, what about, and always good to talk to you, Lamar, Jim Miller here, expectation for year two and John Fox, Vic Fangio defense. Maybe just touch on what you feel is happening right now on the field as this team is gelling with some new faces, both draft picks and free agents brought on board this offseason.
I think the guys that, Ryan Pace and Coach Fox brought in are great fits for the locker room. First off with Jarrell Freeman and guys like Danny Trevathan, different guys that they brought in, Omar Bolden. They fit in very well with the guys we have in the locker room already, and it's easy for them to gel in. And, we enjoy working out with them in the weight room, talking with them in the classroom, while we're at different meals throughout the day. So I feel like the guys that they brought in are gelling well, and the rookies we have are, very humble and hungry to learn and trying to grow inside the sport. So, I think we're doing well as a team, and it shows when we practice together. We're all communicating. We're all, knowing what we're supposed to do. We hold each other accountable. And, so far this week we've been doing pretty good as a defense.
Visiting with Bears outside linebacker Lamar Houston here on Bears All Access. And, yeah, that's what a little birdie told me, that this week has been all about the Bears defense out there in OTAs. Don't want to slight the offense, but the defense appears to be ahead, at least in the early going. And I can't help but think how much you were smiling when you first had an opportunity to sit down with Danny Trevathan and Akeem Hicks and all these new guys that the Bears have brought in on the defensive side of the ball. Because it was last year where you mentioned that you love violence. And from listening to these guys talk, I think they're right with you.
Yeah, those guys that they brought in, they're very respected football players. They're very good. They play tough. They're physical. And they're smart football players. So, this week we've really improved on our communication throughout the whole defense from top down. And, it's really impressive to see, progress like that from 1 year to the next. In the second year of the defense, where guys are kind of finally understanding and have a natural feel for what they're doing, and it's second nature to make checks and calls like that. So, it's really impressive that they brought in the guys like Danny Trevathan and Akeem, who will also pick up the defense just as well, because they're 3-4 guys, and they kind of, just smooth, they blend in with the process we got going right now of building a better defense from 1 year to the next.
You know, this year it's a lot easier to say Lamar Houston outside linebacker because last year we didn't know how it was all going to work out. But, you know, Lamar, yourself, Purnell, Willie Young, Leonard Floyd, Sam Acho, all you guys, there's a little bit difference about each of you guys. When you're sitting there and you're watching tape of the other guys on the field, is there anybody that's similar to you, or are each of you guys kind of your own pass rusher and player?
I think we're all our own pass rushing players. You know, we each have individual styles, and, you know, that's something we were talking about in players' meetings earlier this week on Monday, you know, how we didn't want to kind of overbear the rookies with too much information on technique and stuff, but just telling them that, you know, what you learn from different people, you apply it to how it fits for you and your style of play. You know, something that fits for me isn't necessarily going to fit for Willie. Something that fits for Stan isn't necessarily going to fit for Roy. You know, so we all have to work together and just kind of take pieces from each other and try to get better at the same time. So I think everybody's their own individual player, but I think we play well together.
Well, Lamar, could you touch on the installation in OTAs? Is it at the same pace as what it was a year ago? Or are you guys, because you, like you said, you brought in 3-4 guys in free agency, is it at an accelerated level this year for Vic Fangio and how he's able to introduce the material in year two?
I think it's at an accelerated level because, you know, you have a lot of guys from last year who did learn the defense. And they picked it up by the time the season ended. Now you're adding guys who have been in similar defenses, so the terminology is not going to be too far different for them. So everybody's able to kind of digest the knowledge a little bit better, a little quicker than last year with less questions and more understanding of what is expected of them. You know, now we have guys who are just really honing in on the technique of what they're doing and not really worried about what they're doing or what their responsibility is because it's kind of a second nature feel for them. So I think this year as a defense, we're able to, you know, install more at a rapid pace because we already understand some of the basics of it.
Bears outside linebacker Lamar Houston, our guest here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So a year ago at this time, Lamar, your entire offseason was spent rehabbing from that serious knee injury, and that was your primary concern. This year, you could worry about training and getting yourself physically right and working on the football. And anyone who follows you on social media, you spent a lot of time in Turkey this offseason. What were you doing in Turkey? How did that come about? And take us through the whole process of what you were doing on a daily basis out there.
Well, you know, in Turkey, I spent 2 weeks there rehabbing at Gloria Sports Arena. And, you know, I was just looking for a different style of rehabbing, you know, a different knowledge, different background. So, you know, I went to Turkey, and they worked more from a core stability stance than usual, as we do here in America. So on a day-to-day basis, I would wake up with my trainer, and we would do different exercises. We'd work out probably once or twice a day, and then most of the time I spent time trying to sleep because the hours are so off. I was always up at a weird hour there. So I really enjoyed it. And I also took a trip to Istanbul, which I really, really enjoyed. I was able to go to the Galata Tower and see where the first man has ever flown. I was able to see the Bosphorus Bridge, you know, the only connection of two continents in the world with Asia and Europe. You know, those things are really special. And also look at the Golden Horn. So I really enjoyed my trip in Turkey and got to sightsee up there a little bit. It was a blast.
Yeah, the marketplace there as well is a big deal. So you did all the touristy things. But from a football standpoint, all that stuff that you talked about in terms of training out there, where is it going to be? When people watch you this season on the field, where is it going to benefit you?
I think it'll benefit me in a lot of my technique, you know, get off and things like that. So I think I've really been able to hone in my body and develop and make sure that I'm prepared to play this year at my best.
You know, Lamar, when we were introduced to you as Bears fans, you were a 300-pounder. Now in the first roster that came out at OTAs, I have you listed as 270. Do you feel that 30-pound difference? Do you feel like a more fluid athlete in terms of what your job requirements are? And do you feel better at this weight as opposed to being a defensive line weight?
You know, well, my last season in Oakland, I played outside linebacker at 285. And, you know, I felt like I could kind of really abuse my stuff because I was such a bigger guy. We didn't really have as much drop, so it didn't really affect that. But I was still athletic, you know, and fluid in my movement, and was able to do different moves unusual than a guy who was that big at, you know, D-line and weight. But being at 270, 275, I felt comfortable and still able to utilize my strength in different moves and still fluid in movement and drops to where, you know, I'm not looking like I'm lost in space out there. So, you know, I've always been more of a bigger athletic type, so it doesn't really bother me too much. But
well, interestingly enough, you know, here you are cutting weight, and Leonard Floyd has to put weight on because, as you mentioned, you still want to be strong enough to really hold up against the run in terms of your strength. And what do you see early on from the Bears' first rounder, Leonard Floyd, at the outside backer position?
You know, I see he has great hands and leverage. You know, he uses leverage really well, especially for somebody who's over 6'5". He can bend really well. You know, he gets some guys' chest, and he keeps them at bay because his arms are so long. And, you know, he's very quick and athletic. So, you know, the most impressive thing for me about him was that he was really hungry to learn from, you know, guys like Willie and Purnell and Sam Acho, and just take whatever he can take from them and try and develop himself. You know, he's always studying film, so it's pretty impressive to see a rookie come in, you know, kind of willing to get mentored or looking to get mentored these days, you know, especially what I've seen in the past. So, and I think he's going to be a great player, and he's developing really, really fast.
You know, Leonard's a really respectful guy. It's always yes or no, sir. So is Lamar Houston, are you a yes or no, sir, to you? Or is he a, hey, Lamar, how's it going?
He's even tough. You know, he's a southern boy. He's from Eastman, Georgia. You know, very small town of 2,000 people. So he's very humble and very polite. It's the same with me as he is with everybody else.
So I just heard Lamar Houston refer to himself as very polite. Now, on the way out, then, I got to throw this at you, because earlier this month, you called Aaron Rodgers, quote, a little too arrogant. Is this a smart thing to do?
You know, I've never been friends with the opposition. You know, it's a competition, it's a challenge, and, you know, it is what it is. And I don't think it's about being smarter or dumb. We're competing with the rival in our division, and it's not anything friendly. I don't play offense, I play defense. I'm here to attack and make plays, so. I don't consider it any type of thing to do. It's just is what it is.
You put a big smile on Tom Thayer's face, I can tell you that, as well as a lot of Bears fans listening. Hey, Lamar, thank you so much for joining us, and enjoy the weekend, my friend.
All right.
Thank you, Lamar.
Lamar Houston, the Bears outside linebacker, spending a few minutes with us here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. When we come back, we'll break down what he said with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabin. You can join us as well. 312-644-6767. Bears All Access on The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lauren Screedon, brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every weekend on My50 and Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. And this week on Inside the Bears, go behind the scenes at Photo Day at Hallis Hall. Kevin White is ready to prove himself after a rookie season out of action, and Dick Butkus delivers a strong message for high school football players. Inside the Bears, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on My50 Chicago, and at a special 11 p.m. start time this Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch any segment from the show anytime at chicagobears.com. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. You know what I liked from our interview with Lamar Houston in the last segment? He talked about how the defense has set the tempo early on in these offseason workouts.
And they should, because, you know, the defense, their terminology is, there's so many similarities to last year, and there's a lot of the same bodies in place. And the fact that when you look at the terminology and the learning curve of the offense, it's a lot slower than it is defensively. I like the speed I saw on defense. I like the way I saw Danny Trevathan go sideline to sideline. I like what Eddie Goldman looks like in year two. I like the size that they can put on the line of scrimmage when they have a defense that's called for, you know, that type of stoppage, or they can go long and lean when they want to pass rush you. So there's a lot of different looks, and I expect the defense to look faster, in more a better understanding of all their assignments a little bit faster than we're going to see the offense this year.
Jim, the thing that stands out to me, you have a decorated defensive mind like Vic Fangio. He's got options now that he didn't have a year ago, so you can really play with a quarterback's head.
Yeah, I think, you know, much like what Lamar said, everything is being installed at a much accelerated level, right? So it means the rookies are going to have to obviously catch up. These guys are no longer at, you know, Vic Fangio 101. Now we're starting to get into the higher learning of what he wants to really do with this defense. So the material can be introduced a lot earlier. And I think much like Lamar said, you know, obviously he's being professional to shed the weight that he has to make sure he can excel at the outside backer position. And then with the new pieces to the puzzle that have familiarity with a 3-4 defense, Jerrell Freeman, obviously Trevathan, guys that we've talked about, they're going to be able to come along at an accelerated level as they've been in this defense previously. And so I think overall it's really just about how they can gel and how far improvement that they can make. How much further improvement can they make? Because clearly they're off to a good start at a really accelerated pace is how I would describe it.
You know, Jim and Zach, I think it's really important because of last year, the way Willie Young and Lamar Houston invested themselves in making sure they're being ready for a position change and coming off of a major knee injury. That's inspiring to guys that are looking for direction, looking for someone to gravitate towards, and watching their work ethic in the sidelines while the other guys are practicing. And then they both came in and contributed at a high level. So I do think that Lamar Houston and Willie Young are a really positive influence on this defense, even when you have some of the other veterans that came aboard onto this team. But the way that these two veterans invested a lot of important physical rehab time to make sure that they were ready for when their time came in the regular season, I think it's a great influence on this whole team and the pack of young guys they have here.
312-644-6767 is the number here on Bears All Access. We had a chance to talk to Danny Trevathan at length yesterday after the OTA session, and he brought up a lot of different points. You know, at one point he was asked by a reporter, "You have a ring, you got the big contract, what drives you now?" And he said, "I want to be a great football player. That's what's driving him." And then he talked about his championship experience. And one of the things that he mentioned was that you have to be a family. That, you know, you often hear teams talk about, hey, you have to be a family off the field, but he believes it. And he was talking about how the Broncos defensively, they liked each other off the field. They hung out a lot. So when they were on the field, it made them better. And it's something that I heard Pernell McPhee say, and he also has a ring. You know, I heard Pernell McPhee talk about this last year, that he felt one of the things that he didn't do last year that he was going to do this year. He hadn't moved to Chicago during the offseason. He was commuting, flying back in back and forth. Trevathan has already moved here. Pernell McPhee now officially lives in Chicagoland. So the guys come over to his house. They work out together. They hang out together. Does that, can you get, when you look back at your experience with that 85 group, is that what you guys did?
We had camaraderie because we didn't have cell phones as soon as we got out of our meetings. And that's the thing that disappoints me most about the modern day NFL is when these players get out of meetings and they get their alone time, they're immediately having a conversation with somebody outside the facility. That never happened with us. Our only conversations were with the guys that were inside the facility. And it didn't have to be an offensive player. It could be a defensive player. It could be any position out there. And every conversation brings you closer. You get to know their families a little bit more. You know a little bit more about each individual in there and how important the game is to them. So I like it when the veterans, the elder statesmen, the guys that have been in the NFL the longest realize that if you don't have a family atmosphere inside that locker room, it's hard to develop the camaraderie that's going to spill over to the football field. And Jim, when you first came to the league, you didn't have the cell phone distraction. Now there is that distraction. So I think it's important for the older guys to make sure that the younger guys understand the importance of getting to know your teammates.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you bring up a really good point, Tom, just how players have changed. And, you know, clearly any good team that I've been on, just a bunch of good, hardworking guys where football was important to them. It was important to him to be the best. And I know, you know, unfortunately for some players, you don't always reach your potential. Like as Danny Trevathan told him, I want to be the greatest football player I can be. You know, we all know life happens. Some guys get injured. Other things, unfortunately, may take a career in a different direction. But you do, if you are worth your salt, you want to reach your potential as a player. Football is the most challenging sport to me on the face of this planet Earth. And you know, you have to have that type of commitment. And it is important if at this time of the year that you've got unselfish players that one will work together for the common goal, which is to become a world champion. Because as we always say, you're only as strong as your weakest link. And any veteran in that locker room, along with John Fox and Ryan Pace in that organization, no, you're only as strong as your weakest link. That needs to be a very strong locker room that fight for one another.
I'll give you an example of where cell phone does help. You know, Adam Gase used to talk about his time in Denver when he was the Broncos offensive coordinator. And in the wee hours of the morning, Peyton Manning, when he came up with an idea, would text it to Gase to incorporate it into the game plan. So you can use
that's
it positively.
That's football conversation. I'm okay with it. But if you're trying to see what you're going to have for dinner 5 hours after you get out of meetings, I'm not concerned about that.
He's texting a grocery list, right. That's not important.
It is for Leonard Floyd. Coming up next, we'll switch to the offensive side of the ball. A lot to discuss, including a guy who we saw on the field for the first time in a long time yesterday. Bears All Access with Zaidman, Thayer, and Miller rolling on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The official tablet app of the Chicago Bears, Bears Daily, powered by Xfinity, is now available for free download. Search Bears Daily for the latest team news, videos, photos, and more. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, Zach Zaidman with you, talking some Bears football. So this was the first week of OTAs. For those that don't know, it's the first week where you can go 11-on-11 in the offseason. Rookies, veterans, doesn't matter. So it was our first opportunity this week to see Kevin White on the field. And man, from a physique standpoint, he looks big, and big in a good way.
Well, you know, on the roster, they have listed as 6'3", 217, and he looks every bit of it. He looks big going against defensive backs. He looks big when he's on his route and he's earning position to get to the point to catch the ball. He's very elusive at the line of scrimmage, whether they try to come up and press coverage or they're giving a little bit relaxed coverage off of him. So everything I saw to Kevin White was really encouraging. The thing that disappoints me about seeing Kevin White is not seeing Alshon Jeffrey there. Because I think if you got Alshon on the field too, you're going to see a way the defense is balanced a little differently. So I like the reps that Jay Cutler and all the other quarterbacks are getting with Kevin White, but it'd be nice to see a full complement of players out there. And when we're standing out of practice, it's 85, 90 degrees. It's hot, and these guys are being put through their paces by Coach Fox and his staff, and it gets you ready for football. And I, again, at the beginning of practice, I was impressed to see Kevin, and at the end of the practice, I was impressed by what I saw out of Kevin White.
Jim, he said something yesterday, Kevin White did, that was very telling. He was asked at one point, you know, is it fair to say that you have to be able to play like a veteran here in year two, even though you've never seen any NFL action? And he said, that's fair. Is he capable of doing that right from the get-go?
Yeah, I think he's capable of doing it, but you know, he's got to be in the hip of Jay Cutler, and he's got to be in the hip of his offensive coordinator. He's got to be in the hip of his wide receiver coach. He needs to know this offense inside and out, just to expand his mind, understanding the defenses, coverages that he's going to see, which is going to be far different than what he saw at West Virginia. And you know, it's really about developing that chemistry right now, and it needs to be good with his quarterback. So he's got to open his mind, pay attention at all times, try and soak up every bit of information that he can, because it's going to help you. And the more you can apply it and utilize it to your advantage, you know, he can be an impactful player. You know, physically he's got the gifts, but we Bears fans need him to play fast, because once you start thinking out there, that's when you slow down as a player, and that's what's going to take away from his great ability. So if he's doing all those things, there's no doubt he can be impactful player.
You know, Jim, I have veteran stat expectations for Kevin White this year, because he's sat in meetings. He understands the length of the season. He understands the time commitment that the coaches expect out of Monday to Sunday. So all those things out of the way, now it's just the physical part of it on the field. And we saw that he has the gifts and the ability to be a heck of a receiver. And so I do think the hardest part of it is over. So statistically, I expect him to be a contributor, just like if he had went through last year as an active player.
And he did say that he spent a ton of time with Jay Cutler during the offseason. They watched the Super Bowl together out in Tennessee. You know, Cutler had workouts there with the receivers, which he does every year. He also watches TV with Cutler.
Who do you think talks more? When they're watching TV.
That's what I wanted. And they have different TV shows that they like. And apparently they've been trying to convince one another to watch the other thing. And I can't, because knowing Jay Cutler the way we know him, I just can't picture that happening. But again, if Kevin White says it, it must be true. They also went into a batting cage together. Apparently Cutler is a baseball rock star, can switch hit home runs from both sides of the plate.
Quarterbacks are good at everything.
Yeah, he was a fantastic basketball player, although Kevin White says that he has not seen Cutler on the court, despite the fact that Cutler keeps telling him he was great. I posted a YouTube video of his basketball highlights during high school. He was a heck of a player, a great athlete. But he was asked, why are you doing all of this? And he said, I want more balls. I want more footballs thrown my way. Does it work? Jim, in your time as a quarterback, give me the name of a receiver who won you over because he spent all this time with you throughout the offseason.
Well, that's is par for the course right there, because, you know, they're going to play possum. They're going to let Jay Cutler win on the court and win out all these things. You know, just hey, man, just make sure you're thinking of me on 3rd and 10. You know, that's really what it is. And guys that do, they give you those subtle messages. For me, I loved a former Bear, Bobby Engram. Thought he was just a tremendous, tremendous football player. And Week would just sit and talk about coverages and how we're going to attack it. He just put these subtle reminders in my mind. Hey, Jim, if I see this coverage, I'm going to come out of this route this type of way. And then after a while, because we had talked and discussed and just generally liked one another, you know, as teammates and as friends, you know, it became the unspoken word. I could look at him. He'd look at me. He'd just kind of nod. Yeah, this is what I was talking about right here. Get ready. It's going to happen, you know, and it happened. And it just, you know, is communication with the unspoken word. I have tremendous respect for Bobby Engram, not only as a player, but now as a coach in the National Football League as well, as he's moved on to the Baltimore Ravens.
One of the biggest competitions in regards to the Bears offense is going to be on the offensive line, specifically the center position, where Jarronis Grassou and Manny Ramirez are fighting it out for that number one spot. And then at left guard, where the second round pick Cody Whitehair is fighting it out with Ted Larson, the veteran who has played for a variety of different teams, including Arizona, in his career. But, Tom, we always hear the experts say you can't really learn anything about an offensive line until you put the pads on. But the coaches continue to put these guys out there. They're watching video. What are they looking for out of linemen without pads?
There's a lot of things you look at. Do you come out of your stance with your head up, focused on your target? Do you have your hands in a position that they're effective on the interior of the body and not ice hooks are on the outside of the framework of the body? What are your feet like? Are your feet in control coming out of your stance? And then when you have to get in a retreat position as in terms of pass blocking, do you have the ability to punch forward, not drop your head forward, and still have your feet moving backwards, you know, with some force? So there's a lot of different things that you can look at in terms of specific techniques for an offensive lineman that will work the same as when you put pads on. Because if all of a sudden now you're over jumping a defensive lineman, he's getting by you, now you don't have the feet to recover to get back in a position at least to keep him out of the way of the quarterback or the running back, all those things are going to haunt you when you do get in full pads. So now, you know, Jarronis Grassou, for example, he's listed over 300 pounds. How is that 300 pounds organized? Is it strength, and is it an effective strength at the line of scrimmage where you can move guys out of the way and you can still move with the same athleticism that you did in the reason you were drafted here? So there's a lot of things, and that's why offensive line coach Dave Magazu, when you're looking at the offensive line, you're coaching every guy individually. So now you're looking at each play about 10 times. And so you do get to see the pros and the cons of every offensive lineman. And, you know, you have to watch yourself. But, you know, Jarronis Grassou has to watch Manny Ramirez, and they have to watch Ted Larson, and they have to watch Cody Whitehair, and they have to watch Kyle Long to see how they get the job done. Because you can pick up snippets of improvement by watching how other players do their task when the play is called.
the thing that's interesting to me is when you think about John Fox, there's a body of work here throughout his NFL head coaching career where you know what kind of team he wants to put on the field. It's a team that controls the game by controlling the clock, by being able to run the ball even when you know the team is going to run the ball. He did it in Carolina with multiple backs, did it in Denver with multiple backs, and that's what he's trying to establish here. But how do you work on your running game when you can't hit, when you can't have pads on?
Because it's an exact. I mean, there's not a, when you call an offensive running play, every assignment is an exact. It's like a dance troupe. It's like the, you know, the I can't remember.
You always use the Rockettes.
Yeah, it's like the Rockettes. It's a perfect timing. You can't have one leg kicking differently than the other 100 up there. And that's the exact way offensive football plays have to be run. If you have a combination block and you're working with an offensive lineman, a tight end, a running back, an H-back, I mean, there is an exact to it. It's not a general area we're going to try to earn. No, it's a specific fit that we have to be together in order to get movement, to get to the second level efficiently, to allow the running back to have that innate ability to understand where that hole is going to open up and the first and the second level. So it's perfection in terms of the offensive line. It's just not a guessing game after the play is called.
You know, for me, and I understand the new collective bargaining agreement, and certainly, you know, I'm all for the safety of players and all those type of things, but I think it's difficult on young offensive linemen and young quarterbacks coming out today because, you know, the practices are so limited. Teams are scaling back. Obviously, you can't go live, as Tom mentioned, because you're not in pads in you know, the OTAs and all those things. When back in the day, Tom was going two practices a day, full pads, working on those type of things. So I think at times it takes players longer to develop. There are the anomalies like Kyle Long, who was a Pro Bowler his first year, but I do think it takes longer for guys to settle in.
Yeah, Kyle Long made the point yesterday that it's very different when you're going up against live humans as opposed to the garbage cans that they have in front of you during phase one and phase two of these workouts. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, the Bears have a new offensive coordinator. Tom got to watch him in action yesterday. We'll find out what his impressions are next on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get the latest updates and messages from your Chicago Bears all year long by signing up at chicagobears.com/emails. Former Bears quarterback Jim Miller is here. So is 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. You can join us at 312-644-6767 here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So we got to see Dow Loggins in action. Now, he's been an offensive coordinator before out at Tennessee. He was a quarterback's coach in Cleveland and then joined the Bears last season as a quarterback's coach under Adam Gase. But now it's his show from an offensive decision-making thing. And he is very active, runs around. You know that he's out there on the practice field because you always hear him. Very loud.
Well, I like the fact that Dow knows his offense so well that he has accountability for everybody, including the assistant coaches. And no one is lost in the show. I mean, everybody feels his wrath because I heard him raise his voice at practice in a constructive way, but very meaningful. And I'm glad that he's not shy because I think that's the influence that an offensive coordinator has to have on everybody on the offensive side of the ball, including the assistant coaches. So if you make a mental error, you cannot have mental errors. And I know it's day one, day two, day three of OTAs, but these coaches have invested a lot of time in the classroom with their students. And they want their students to go on this football field and be able to run a drill when they're doing 11 on 11, that they do it efficiently and they are effective at what their assignment is. And they have an understanding what their role is according to subtle defensive changes. And if he doesn't agree with it, he lets you know it. And what's one of the best things that I like about Dahl so far is he's not shy and he is willing to raise his voice to make sure everybody gets the message. And that's a key element here because, look, man, it's every offensive player has to work together. And like Jim said, and every football player says, if you think you're beat, you got to go out there, you got to know your assignment, and it's got to be run right to an exact, not a general vicinity.
Now, I'm a big believer in what Tom just said, and I'll give you a case in point. There was an article this week about the San Francisco 49ers. They ran 24 plays in literally 8 minutes. So what does that mean? A play was being run every basically 20 seconds is what the article was about. How much coaching is going on at that standpoint? Nothing.
Right.
They're just going through the motions. So the players made a mistake, and now you think you're going to go into the meeting room and correct it in the meeting room? So correct it on the field, then reinforce it in the meeting room. You're hitting the player twice with a coaching point that you need or trying to communicate for that player to understand. So I'm a big believer in what Tom said. You got to communicate. You got to coach. You're a teacher out there. And, you know, you're not going to be too effective if guys don't know their assignments. So Dowell is a very high-energy guy, very intense. He knows exactly what he wants out of the offense. But I'm a big believer in that. You got to get that. That's what these periods are for, these OTAs. Okay? They're teaching opportunities for these coaches, and you try to get a lot of that teaching done out on the field.
So we know what John Fox's philosophy is in regards to the kind of football team he wants. And we talked about it earlier, running the ball, controlling the clock, and being a very conservative, old school football team. We know what the offense was like under Adam Gase last season, but the Bears were kind of banged up, so they didn't have the full complement of weapons. What is Dowell Loggins' philosophy, and how does it mesh with what Fox wants and what was here last year? And Jim, can you kind of take us to the next level now as this offense grows?
Well, I think you nailed it earlier with John Fox in Carolina and John Fox in Denver. Not that he can't transition, because he's, you know, changed offenses for Tim Tebow, and he adjusted with Peyton Manning. But running the football is paramount. It has always been paramount to John Fox at the end of the day. Like you said, make the game shorter, control the clock, those type of things. It's always running, and you kind of shorten the game and your opponent's opportunities. And I do think for Dowell Loggins, he's going to continue forward Adam Gase's philosophy, which is what I talked about earlier last week, that it's game plan specific. 1 week it may focus on the run game more than the following week, where maybe they feel they've got matchups with Kevin White on a specific corner in a ball game. So that really that philosophy came from Josh McDaniel when Adam Gase got under Josh McDaniel out there in Denver. It's somewhat the New England Patriot philosophy is how I would explain it to listeners out there. And I think really Dowell Loggins really wants that to continue for the Chicago Bears.
And I think the running game makes Jay Cutler a more confident quarterback. Because I think if you go into a game plan and you're willing to run the ball 55% of the time, now the biggest influence is going to be your offensive line to the running back position. Now all of a sudden, you're so effective at running the ball, now you're a lot more deceptive with your play-action passing game. And Jim can speak about this way better than I can, that I do think when you run the ball effectively, then you have play-action, I'm not looking for the word easier, but it's a more defined targets that you have when you're using play action pass instead of putting four or five wide receivers out there, letting the defense, you're definitely going to go downfield. So maybe the running game is more helpful to the quarterback position.
No, you're right. And, you know, that's why it's always critical if you have a young quarterback, and it's true for older quarterbacks too, but you want to run the ball when a quarterback's young, because when we have the play action pass, which forces linebackers and safeties start to hesitate, now your windows are bigger. Your windows are bigger to throw into, because those players are hesitating in their reactions and they can't really get back in their drops right away. So it makes cleaner, easier reads for a quarterback. And of course, when you have targets that big or that are that wide open, you're going to be confident as a quarterback to really pull the trigger and get it in there for an easy completion. So it's critical, and, you know, it helps both older quarterbacks and younger quarterbacks, but specifically younger quarterbacks, and just it opens up so many bigger windows in terms of the coverages.
How fast are the heads of these young players spinning? You know, the Bears used to have a very old roster, and that was the case when Ryan Pace took over. Now they only have six players, I believe, who are older than 30. So you got a lot of first-year players, a lot of second-year players, and there's a lot of teaching going on, and there's a lot happening out there on that practice field. What's it like to be a rookie experiencing this?
Well, I mean, they understand it from their days in college. When you go from a senior in high school to college, all of a sudden you're put in this room and you have three-hour meetings, and you have so much information, it's hard to digest, plus you're going to school and all the other information you're trying to learn. You can't confuse the two together. But, you know, that's why offensive football is repetitiously done. You can go into a classroom and you can go on the practice field and you can make a mistake. but don't make multiple mistakes. Because the first thing they're doing is they're evaluating the players about how much information we gave them today. Were they able to digest it in a constructive manner? And are they able to go on the practice field and play and practice at a tempo that eventually is going to be sped up because they'll know the information better? And that's the key here is, you know, mistakes get you cut. You know, physical, that's, you know, all coaches say, physically, I can coach you through those mistakes. Mentally, if you keep making mental errors, there's nothing, I can't put you on the field. And so, you know, that's the great thing about it is how much are you willing to invest your free time in studying what you've learned throughout the day? And if you go home and you put your iPad away and then you start playing video games and you go on the field the next day and make mistakes, you're going to get cut and you're going to have plenty of times to play video games.
Yeah. Well, let me piggyback off that because all that and then some, because people forget less than 1% of college players are in the pros, right? We're talking realistically about 1,800 guys is what this comes down to. It is extremely competitive for the reasons that Tom just mentioned, not to mention that all those great athletes, these guys were all state in many different sports in high school, and granted, college is pretty competitive. It's nowhere near as competitive in the great athletes you're facing in the National Football League.
312-644-6767. Robert, Bob, you guys are up first. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls here. Thayer's here. Miller's here. Zaidman's here. Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Finish at Soldier Field when you participate in the PNC Chicago Bears 5K taking place Saturday, June 25th. Get more information and register today at chicagobears.com/5K. Tom Thayer's here. So is Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access, 312-644-6767. Out to the phones we go. Downers Grove. Robert, you're on Bears All Access on The Score.
Hey, Jim. You're a smart quarterback. I remember watching you in the mid-90s under Wani, and it sure seems like Cutler's a smart quarterback. It seems like he knows where all the guys need to be, and he's on his sixth system in 7 years. Why don't we let him call plays at the line of scrimmage like Peyton Manning?
I think, well, more is put into the quarterback's hands than probably ever in the history of football. Granted, the old school guys like Johnny Unitas and them called their own plays, but their playbook was not as, you know, has the volume of today's offenses. But I think that is happening, and I think it's been the case for Jay Cutler over the past couple of years that more is going to be put into his hands at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, I think it's, you know, important. It's unfortunate when you're switching from offense to offense to offense that you can't really settle in on a certain thing, but you certainly learn a lot about philosophy, a lot of different coaching styles, and how things want to be executed, and it kind of expands your mind as a football player with all the things that he's been exposed to. But I do think that is the plan in place for Dow Logans. Jay Cutler will have freedom at the line of scrimmage to check in and out of plays, call audibles, and those type of things, because that way you put your offense in the best play to take advantage of what a defense is presenting.
You know, Robert, too, is nowadays in the terminology, there's always built in that audible that you say inside the huddle, that if we don't see this type of defense, automatically look for me to make this hot call, and we'll go to the second play called. So there is kind of a little bit of that, but calling his own plays, that could be difficult.
Well, I spoke to Adam Gase about this last year. Remember, he gave Jay Cutler the keys to the offense and had him invested fully in the offense because, like Jim said, it expands your football right. mind. It forces you to know the responsibilities of yeah. every single person on the field. It gives you a greater command of everything in front
of you. Well, at times it does happen in the game where you're calling your own plays. Like, if I'm in a two-minute drill, that's all on me. I'm not waiting for a coach to signal in anything. You know, once you go 2 minute and it's a up-tempo offense and you're basically out there just calling whether it's a 3-by-1 set or 2-by-2 set, and pretty much any offense I've been in, any quarterback in that situation, they got it, and you're out there calling your own plays anyway.
Back to the phones we go. Bob in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, you are on Bears All Access.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I agree with the philosophy of the running game. But my question is, how realistically is the offensive line upgraded? You got to have a strong offensive line to create holes. And here's the issue. Cutler is okay. He's not a Tom Brady. He's not the Green Bay Packer, Rodgers quarterback. And the Bears don't really have enough tested offensive receivers. So it's going to be a challenge. So how realistically is the offensive line upgraded?
Well, you know, Bob, they did bring in Bobby Massey for the right tackle position. They moved Kyle Long back from offensive tackle to offensive guard. We'll give him strength on the inside. I think Charles Leno Jr. is doing a nice job at the left-hand side at the left tackle position. So the battle is going to be on the center and the left guard position. So I do think they have the people in place in order to provide that spark by the offensive line, what you're talking about. And then you have Kevin White coming into the mix, and you hope you get a healthy Alshon Jeffrey. So the positions are there. If you get a good, healthy year out of the wide receivers, and then you get this offensive line to gel and mold like the expectations that we have of them. And offensive line coach Dave Magazoo does a great job of making sure he interworks all these bodies in training camp to get the best five guys out there. So I do think they have the offensive line firepower. It's just a matter of making sure everybody has the opportunity to gel together.
You know, compare it to a year ago, Jim, where the roles weren't defined and you didn't have the kind of competition that you're going to have heading into training camp this year.
Well, I mean, you see it every year. I mean, offensive linemen are now being cross-trained. They have to, because the game day rosters, you're only going to go into the game with seven, right? You only have 46 guys available for you. So you need a guy to play both center and guard, and you're going to need an extra swing tackle, probably also has the ability to play guard. So it's just much different today. I wish they would just let them dress the whole 53. You're paying the guys anyway. Just allow them to dress. I mean, that way you're not throwing a tight end in at a tackle or guard position when two guys go down.
Let's hope not.
That's another topic of conversation for another week. Hey, we're back next Thursday, 6 o'clock, right here on The Score. For Jim Miller and Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is sponsored by Comcast, PNC, and FanDuel.